Hello, and welcome back to Laundry Day, the podcast I created solely as a reason to adult up and get my laundry done. And this is fun to do while I do my laundry for both of us, I think. As you can see, if you watch the show on YouTube, and you can probably hear it on the podcast as well, I am not in my normal podcast studio. Today, I'm taking you to Houston. Welcome to Houston, everyone. I spend a lot of time in Texas. My husband is from Houston, born and raised, and his parents still live here. We are very close with his parents. We spend probably, in fact, we probably spend at least half the year with them, either at their house or our house. To get into the Texas spirit, I thought I'd start out with a few things I love most in Texas in the form of a list, because I love a good list. In no particular order, up first we have Buc-ee's gas station. Yep, a gas station made my list. If you've been to a Buc-ee's, you know why. And no, your cool gas station isn't anything similar to a Buc-ee's, so don't try me. Buc-ee's is basically, it's a giant gas station, but it's more than that, okay? Buc-ee's has one of the biggest and cleanest bathrooms I have ever seen in my life, so it's a great place to actually stop when you're on a road trip, but also they make their own beef jerky. They have, like, their own food source thing. It's just the best gas station. They have, like, 40 stalls, all perfectly clean, like the kind you can actually go in and take a little dump when you're on the road and you feel alone. Giant bathroom. The bathroom is like a resort. So Buc-ee's is up first on my list. Up next, we have Kima as a whole. So Kima is kind of near Houston, where I spend most of my time when I'm in Texas. And it's like a little beach town. It's my favorite place to bar hop. The crawfish is always good, especially at Sam's Boat. We have boats there, and it's one of my favorite places to explore the rivers, looking for alligators, or explore the ocean, because the rivers are connected to the ocean, looking for dolphins. We play with wild dolphins. I'll never forget my first experiencing a dolphin. I'm an Arizona girl, okay? Western girl, no beach, nothing like that. So when I saw wild dolphins trying to interact with me, deceased. I was deceased. Speaking of crawfish, that's up next. I love Texas crawfish. I know if you're from Louisiana, you like that more. But as a Texan by marriage, Texas crawfish has my heart. Next, we have Kolaches. For some reason, other states have not caught on to this. Nashville has like one shop, but they're pretty much on every corner here in Houston, and they're just better. A Kolache is sort of a pig in the blanket, pig in a blanket, but it's not. I hate to call it that. That's just what you might be able to picture in your head. It's like a sausage inside bread, but the bread has to be this perfect type of bread, and the sausage, perfect type of sausage. I get the jalapeno and cheese ones, Kolaches. Next on my list, we have my favorite hairdresser. Yep, I come all the way to Texas to get my hair done. Because my favorite hair colorist is here. His name is Wes. Wes Does Hair on Instagram. His name is Wes Does Hair. Wes Does Hair on Instagram. And yeah, the way I met him is I used to be bleach blonde, like Barbie blonde. And I went to another hairdresser, not my favorite hairdresser, Wes. And this was when the sort of gray, ashy look was coming in. So I wanted to change my Barbie blonde to this sort of ashy, like gray-toned blonde. But the person who did my hair dyed it this dark green brown. So I went from Barbie blonde to like this dark brown base that had like this green, gray, ashy green. It was awful and obviously devastating because, you know, I have a lot of hair and it took a very long time to get it as light as it was and then had to go back. So I met Wes because I needed someone to fix it, and I was not going to go back to the same stylist who did that. I was scared. I was scared I was about to lose all my hair from dyeing it green-gray. Then we have things like the rodeo, the best Asian food. All types of Asian food are superior here. Tex-Mex, H-E-B, which is the best grocery store on the planet. I don't want to bore you with too many Houston things, but I love Texas, and these are a few of my favorite things. I have a song coming out tomorrow. Yep. So for my listeners who aren't necessarily from my social media, I have my largest following on TikTok. I have over 2 million followers over there. Amazing followers, by the way, who are very supportive of my music. And they've fallen in love with this challenge that I started over on TikTok called the Random Word Generator Challenge. My song Orchestra was born from this challenge. It's where I take three random words and I implement them into a song. Well, I had another one of these videos go viral with my friend Kings. She's a yellow-haired beauty who wrote this song with me called Skeletons. Our random words were waterfall, skeletons, and neutral. We did a whole photo shoot where we bought like 70 creepy dolls and we spray painted a chair yellow to match her hair. And as two people who are signed to a label, I think it's pretty funny. I found my match. I found my match in Kings because she likes to do things kind of on her own too when it comes to the creative side. So we both told our labels, we were like, no, we got this. We really want to like do the creative vision. So we completed the vision together, and I'm really excited for you guys to see the album art and everything. So song is called Skeletons. By the time you're listening to this on YouTube, it will be out because this video will probably go up Wednesday. I usually do my podcast Tuesday and then I upload it to YouTube on Wednesday. So it'll be out on all platforms. Just type in Skeletons. It's time for a random fact of the day. The fact is this. I got to read this one because this is really weird. I had to include it. Hello, English. I'm not even drinking my margarita yet. As if you're watching on YouTube, you've seen me sitting here next to this gorgeous margarita. Okay, the fun fact is this. Some fungi create zombies, then control their minds. So, the tropical fungus Ophiocordyceps infects ants' central nervous system. By the time the fungi has been in the insect's body for 9 days, they have completely taken control over the host's movements. They force the ants to climb trees, then convulse and fall into the cool, moist soil below where the fungi thrive. Once there, the fungus waits until exactly solar noon to force the ant to bite a leaf and kill it. Okay, morbid. Okay, nature. Morbid. I did not need that. I wonder if they can do it to humans. It sounds like not. Sounds like an ant thing. So a ton of you want to get to know me on an even more personal level through this podcast. And I will admit that I used to keep my private life and my feelings super private. 10 years ago, I was trained to do just that. I was on the X Factor at 14. And I was trained so well. I always say it's kind of like a political answer, like politicians. They'll get asked a question and then they will make you think they answered it. And then later you're like, hello? Global warming? Hello? So I learned how to give a political answer. I learned how to answer without answering. And I did that for years, really avoiding certain topics that I didn't want to talk about. But now that I'm in my mid-20s, I'm kind of fine with just telling you guys about things. That's why I started this podcast. I just want to let you in on my secrets, on my life. We do poop talk here. We talked about the gynecologist. We talk about everything here. So I don't mind sharing. Over the past few years, pot has been legalized in a lot of places I frequent, and one of them is California. In my industry, smoking pot is so normalized. People do it while they work. A lot of people really benefit from the effects of doing it while they work. When I was younger, I struggled with saying no to it. I have to sneeze. Please hold story. What I was trying to say before I had to take a little sneeze break is that when I was younger, I struggled with saying no to pot because I didn't want to seem uncool. But nowadays, I'm really happy to say no, and here's why. And tons of my friends smoke pot daily, and I have absolutely no issues with it. I don't even notice it most of the time. But once in my past, I had an experience that kind of ruined it forever, probably forever, for me, personally. So I had it multiple times when I was younger, and I guess I enjoyed it, but I wasn't really around a crowd that I don't hang around this type of crowd anymore, so I'm not sure that I was really enjoying anything at that time. I think it was fine. I think I enjoyed it, but I don't know. I didn't enjoy anything. But then one time I tried it again and had an adverse effect. Now, I don't want to spread misinformation because, like I said, so many people in my life have a great experience with it. But for me, something weird happened. So I was hallucinating, which a lot of people are like, it's not a hallucinogen. Like, it doesn't. Okay, I hear you. This is just what happened to me. I was hallucinating, and this is so weird, but my concept of size, like the way I could understand the size of things, like if this glass is this big and my hand is this big, disappeared completely. So nothing was the size that it was. This sounds insane, and it was. It felt insane. So I kept repeating. I'm like, there's this chalk. I had like cotton mouth. My mouth felt so dry. And I was like, there's this chalk road going into my mouth. The road is the real size of a real road. So it's feet across. The road is the real size, but my mouth is also its real size. And people, when I try to explain this to them, they're like, what does that even mean? It means that there was this road that was going into my mouth, all into my body, that was real size big and real size small at the same time, which really disoriented me. I felt incredibly detached from my body. And that was like one of the things happening. I had to, my clothes, I had a sensory issue. I had to take all of my clothes off. And this road was going to my mouth and I was going into these other rooms. It felt like I was like falling backwards into another room. I kept saying goodbye. I was like, I'm going again. I have to say goodbye, goodbye. And I would go into this other room. It was the weirdest, it was just not good. It was not good experience for me. And it for weeks really like devastated me. And when I would think about it, because the thing about pot versus alcohol is you can black out on alcohol and not remember anything, which I do not recommend. But with pot, it's like, even though you're feeling out of body, you're very with it. You're still incredibly aware of your surroundings, even while hallucinating. It's hard to explain unless you've kind of experienced this feeling. But people who smoke pot are much more, even though they're thinking these kind of out their thoughts, they're still grounded. Things, I don't know. I'm not the expert. I cannot explain it. Anyway, all this being said, I'm neither against or for it. I think it's a personal journey. It's a something personal. Same thing with alcohol. I feel this way about many things, not even things that make you intoxicated, for lack of better words. The reason I wanted to tell the story is that now I am confident to turn it down in the studio or wherever. You know, people, like I said, it's legal in a lot of states that I frequent, and I'm fine to turn it down. I just tell people, you do not want to babysit me when I'm in that state. Trust me. And if you're a younger listener, I hope that you hear me when I say that it's okay to not do something, even if you're comfortable with other people doing it. Obviously, there are things that you might be like, I don't want to do that, like heroin. I don't want to do that, and I'm not comfortable with other people doing it around me. But this is one of those things that I think a lot of young people are afraid to say no to because you're not against it necessarily. And I'm not against it. I'm just against it for myself. It's just not good for me. It's something that I'm not for. So if you're a younger listener, I just want you to be okay to say no. If those of you around it, if those people around you are doing it, it's okay to say, that's just not for me. That's just not something I enjoy. Not everyone's the same, and you're not cooler to do it. And that's just something that I've learned over time. So if you're a younger listener, please hear me when I say you don't have to do it just to fit in, especially because people who smoke pot usually are fine with you not doing it, fine with you doing it. It's personal. It's just a personal thing. So anyway, moving on from the pot talk. This week, we're going to be skipping our dirty laundry segment. I need to take a sip of my margarita for this. We are going to be sort of skipping it, I should say. Here's the truth. This is the real dirty laundry, the real tea that I'm about to spill. With social media, we're incredibly obsessed with other people's lives. It's so easy to read a headline or see an article and just one article and write people off. And maybe grown adults can make choices based off of minimal info, but it's causing a generation of kids and younger people who are either overly sensitive and always ready to cancel someone. They're always on the prowl of when they're going to cancel somebody. Or it's causing that same generation to fear making mistakes so much that they hardly can develop their own views or their own identity. Really look inward and imagine if the things that you've said about someone or the things you've done were blasted online for everyone to judge. Imagine people they don't have to get to know you because they already have decided who you are based on the one thing you said one time. One thing you said or one person's headline about you. Personally, I try to only pass judgment on a situation that I have experienced firsthand with someone. Most of the time I try to do that. I don't write people off based on gossip that I hear about them or a headline if it's a celebrity. Now, if someone confides in me about someone and I see all of the things that they say about truth, and I don't mean gossip because you guys know how I feel about gossip, but if somebody's confiding in me about someone, maybe, but I still generally will try to base my opinion of someone off of my personal experience of them. But I still think there's room in the world for forgiveness. So it's good to hold people accountable, but you can't expect perfection out of everyone. And scaring people into not doing anything worth canceling does not get the real effect that you want. It doesn't change their heart. It doesn't change their thoughts. So you still haven't won. Scaring people into being better in your opinion or better by just the world's standard, it doesn't It doesn't make you win. So now you've created sneaky people. If someone truly wants forgiveness, I had to write this part down because I was really trying to reflect on this earlier. If someone truly wants forgiveness or the opportunity to change, give it to them. No, they don't need to become your biggest inspiration or your best friend in the world, but they deserve room to grow, at least for themselves. Boundaries are key here. You can hate somebody's actions or something they've done without hating them. There's no reason you can't just keep people who act a certain way at an arm's length and be upset with that thing while not fully writing them off. Give them the chance. Give them the chance to change. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I really want people to be able to change and turn away from their wrongdoings. I don't want to just punish them and strip them from the chance to try. So if someone doesn't want the chance, that's different. A lot of people don't want to take that chance, but they deserve the opportunity to take that chance. My mom used to say it perfectly. She would say, only tattle, because I was a little bit of a tattletale, and she would tell me, only tattle on people if someone's life is in danger. So if their life or someone else's life that they might affect are in danger, then tattle. Otherwise, let it work itself out. Let them work it out themselves. Okay, I have some psychology life hacks. I saw these from a guy named Nick Cheld on TikTok. Part one is that one of the best self-defense tricks is to act crazier than the attacker. Apparently, if you start acting fully insane, they will not want to attack you. Now, I haven't tried this, but I'm going to try it with my husband later. He starts coming at me sideways. I'm just going to start flailing around. This one I'm going to test and get back to you. Something tells me this wouldn't work for my ADHD husband because he functions like this as is. But if you need to do something the next day or to remember something, put something in your house or room very out of place. And then once you see it the next day and you're like, huh, what? You'll wonder why it's there and it will remind you of that thing that you need to do. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try it. We'll see. We'll find out. I'll get back to you. Up next, if you want someone to agree with you, nod your head up and down while you're talking to them, and they'll start nodding up and down as well and subconsciously start agreeing with you. It's called the Sullivan nod and works about 60% of the time. So it's called the Sullivan nod. Are you shaking your head with me? We're not in person. I don't know if it works over the internet. Let me know. If you want to ask someone for a favor, first ask them for a huge favor that they would say no to. And then ask for a small favor. After saying no to the first one, they'll have a higher compliance rate for the second one. So let me think of like an example of how you could implement this into your daily life. If you need someone to maybe help you carry a box into your apartment complex, maybe you say, hey there, can I borrow your car? They're like, sir, no, hey, I don't know you. And then say, I'm just kidding or whatever. I don't know. Are you supposed to tell them you're kidding? And then just say, well, can you help me carry my box up to my apartment? And they're more likely to comply for the second one. All right, next one is when talking to someone who you think is deceitful, stare at their forehead and it will throw them off and they will have a harder time lying to you or trying to influence you because they'll be wondering, why are you staring at their forehead? For me, this might not work. I have a very large forehead and people stare at it all the time. It doesn't throw me off. If someone is crying, comfort them and then ask them, hey, do you want some sand? And it will throw them off from being sad. I'm going to try this because I could really see this working on a child, especially if a child's crying and they're not really hurt and you want them to maybe cool off a little, then you just say, hey, do you want some sand? And most likely they might giggle and start thinking so hard about what the heck you just asked them that they won't be sad anymore. When you're nervous or scared, chew some gum because your brain will think you're eating and it will think that if you're eating, you must not be in danger. I don't know about that one. If you want to know if someone is checking you out, turn sideways to them and look down at your watch, point at your watch, and then act surprised or start nodding your head while looking at the watch. And this will give them the sudden urge to check the time. And then you'll know if they were looking at you if they start checking the time on their watch or on their phone. This week's episode is a little bit shorter than last week since I am putting a song out tomorrow and then a vlog about the creation of the song on Friday. So be looking out on my YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe to this YouTube channel or my Spotify or on iTunes. Follow, subscribe, all the above. Thank you all so much for tuning in to The Laundry Day Show. Say one nice thing to one other person and make the world a better place. Bye.